section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, what's the biggest news?
I think the biggest thing that happened this past week was Ryder, unfortunately, got injured right after he won the number one contendership for the tag team titles on SmackDown. And they're saying he's going to be out about 6 months with a knee injury. Now, it is very unfortunate timing, especially he's going to miss WrestleMania and you know, a few other big shows. But, Doug, let me ask you this. Do you think that it would be good for him to be off for a little while so that way they can rejuvenate his character and everything?
It really depends on what they want to do with him, and I think he's the only thing keeping Mojo Rawley alive or even on the main roster. So if they're so into Rawley that they got to keep him with him and try to keep him somehow relevant during this injury, whether they just do behind the scenes kind of stuff or whether they do an angle where they injure him and they hold off on the number one contendership and then bring him back as a tag team. But I have no idea what they're going to do with him. And I don't think WWE knows what they're going to do with him either.
So here's the thing with Ryder, right? If you kind of look at his career, right, they've been very stop and start with him. He got a nice push for the U.S. title, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. I think Punk may have still been a heavyweight champion. Then he lost it to Swagger and fell out of fortune. Then all of a sudden, magically, he reappeared, and he won that, like, big July 4th Battle Royal. You know, he won the IC title at WrestleMania, but then he loses it to Miz. So it's one of those things where, like, you want to believe that, sure, it would be great if 6 months would keep him fresh. But do we really believe that they're invested enough to actually have a storyline waiting for him when he comes back? I mean, you know, I don't like Mojo Rawley, but for some reason, WWE's high on him. And I think Ryder being on a team with him, it kind of always made sure that they thought about, like, hey, let's make sure Ryder's on the TV show today and give them something to do. And, you know, the worst thing that could happen to him is then to pair Ryder with somebody else Rawley with somebody else they like. And then Ryder is back to being, you know, the main event of, well, main event. You know, let's just hope that they have something for him, because I like the guy. I've always thought, you know, he's not a heavyweight champion material. He's not that guy, but he definitely works in the mid card, and he's always been over, and he got over on his own. I mean, that is pretty impressive.
With Gronk's help, of course.
Well, Ryder, I mean, wasn't he over like 3 years before Gronk was really a big thing?
Right.
Yeah. Now, Andy, obviously you're a huge Zack Ryder fan. You're probably saddened by this news. You know, I would say, right?
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny because he gets hurt and Emma's now fine and she's going to be back on the road. So that's the other crappy part.
It is unfortunate for him. Yeah. Now, Andy, Raw. Let's talk about WWE programming for the week. We had Raw and one of the biggest storylines going on there, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Now, Kevin Owens retained at Roadblock due to interference from Jericho. And then they announced that there's going to be a rematch at Royal Rumble, and Jericho is going to be suspended high above the ring in a cage. So, Andy, do you think that this is going to be the time that they give the belt to Roman Reigns, or what are you expecting here?
Well, I believe that in this case, Owens will retain, because I think Owens will actually go up until WrestleMania and he'll lose it there. The funny thing about this is that they already did an angle like this already. You know, was that, what was it, at the last NXT TakeOver Toronto? They already did this. Why are they bringing
ball
it back?
Entering.
Yeah, they had him suspended a cage, you know, above the ring. Come on.
Do you think it has anything to do with toy sales? Because they have that new toy where the cage is above the ring.
Oh no.
I actually think that it could. I could see this being the thing where they go, oh, by the way, you can do this at home. You know, because this is the second time they've done it, like Andy said, in 3 months. So what does that say? You know, why would they do that?
Toy sales. That is the only reason why they're going to do it is that they're going to have some things backstage where they're going to have Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens going at it. And Jericho's going to be up in the cage, and Jericho's going to do these big flips off it where he hurts Roman Reigns each time, which will be kind of funny.
Andy, you said something interesting, though. You said that you think Owens is going to hold it until WrestleMania. Who would you have him face at WrestleMania? Who would his opponent be?
Brock Lesnar.
Really?
Wow.
Kevin Owens
for the title.
For the title, And I think that Brock Lesnar should win, but I think that Kevin Owens should find ways to cheat in order to try and win.
You don't think that Owens will drop the belt before WrestleMania and feud with Jericho?
No. In fact, what it could happen is that somehow Kevin Owens starts beating up Brock Lesnar, in quotes, and then Jericho somehow screws Owens, you know, because they got in some fight at, you know, whatever pay-per-view they're going to have in February. Elimination Chamber, who knows?
Roger, what do you think about that? Do you think that Owens is going to drop the belt to Reigns, and or do you think he's going to retain it until WrestleMania?
I hope not. I don't know. I think we all know that WWE is very tone deaf, but I don't know, after Roadblock and kind of hearing the fact that this is now twice they've done that stupid little Shield mini reunion, and both times it's gotten booed. Like, he somehow managed to cool off Seth Rollins, who was one of the more popular superstars, you know, on the roster, because people just don't like Reigns. They've rejected him. Like, the, you know, it doesn't matter how much Vince likes him, Reigns has been rejected. So, no, I think Owens holds the title to WrestleMania. I still think Seth Rollins has an outside chance to win the Rumble, but I think he probably is facing Triple H at WrestleMania. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Finn Balor coming back to win the Rumble. In my dream world, instead of Brock Lesnar, this is Samoa Joe making his debut at the Rumble and winning it. And not that I think that'll really happen, but it'd be a cool story. And, you know, actually the best outside chance would be Sami Zayn wins the Rumble. And then you let Zayn and Owens go at it one last time at Mania. So just give me something new. I don't want to see Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens again. I don't even want to see it at the Rumble, let alone Mania.
Okay.
And Doug.
Just point something out to get the heat. Do you think the only way that Roman Reigns could actually not get heat is if somehow he saves Nakamura from, like, getting eliminated from the Royal Rumble?
No, I don't. I think at this point, look, The Rock couldn't get him over. The Shield reunion can't get him over. They have tried every trick in the book to make Roman Reigns lovable, and there is absolutely nothing that has got him cheered outside of that, like, one segment where he beat the snot out of Triple H. I think it was, you know, after TLC or at TLC or something like that.
Survivor Series, right?
Survivor Series. I think it was TLC. No, I think it was TLC? After he got, yeah, I think he got screwed out of the title by League of Nations.
Oh, that's right.
Part of it, and I said this on a previous podcast, part of it is bad timing, right? He was the guy who was pushed instead of Brian, so we're always going to kind of resent him for that. And part of that is that he's stale. Like, that character is the same as it was for the past 3 years. His matches, despite his awesome series with AJ, take those away, does he have another good match under his belt? It's like, it's everything with Roman is the same old routine. It's the same old stuff. And it's not like Stone Cold, where it was interesting back in the day, where seeing a stunner every week was hilarious, or, you know, it was fun and the crowd was into it. The crowd hates Roman. And there, I don't think a Shield reunion will get him face. I don't think if Stone Cold himself came back and endorsed him, it'd make him a face. They tried putting up against Vince. It didn't matter. Like, people just don't like Roman. And until they turn him heel, he's going to be mini Cena. This is Cena in 2006.
And Doug, do you think that Reigns could capture the title at Royal Rumble, or do you see him not doing it until then?
I actually see him getting the title at Royal Rumble, mostly because I think that, and this is my biggest fear, because I've been able to predict the pay-per-views the last two times. I think you're going to see Jericho drop something like the list from the cage down to the ring, but Roman Reigns is going to get it, hit Kevin Owens with it, get the title, and then you're going to see Jericho and Owens setting something up for WrestleMania. You'll have Reigns with the both titles, because they have to make him look strong. And I did do that with air quotes in a podcast.
And the thing is, Doug, I actually agree with you. I think that, ideally Kevin Owens would retain, you know, but he's not going to. I think that, as Roger said, WWE loves him too much. And so Reigns is going to have the title, and then they'll talk about how Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins are the only two that have ever held the U.S. title and the WWE title, you know, sort of thing. I think that's what they're going to go with. I'm not sure who Roman Reigns is going to face at WrestleMania, you know, going into the I think it'll be the winner of the Royal Rumble. It could be Finn Balor. If they really want to turn Roman Reigns heel, that could be the path that they go, because Finn Balor is such a big fan favorite. So that's something that they could do. But I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that I just had
a really bad idea.
What's that?
What if Ambrose gets the Intercontinental title, then somehow gets the heavyweight title, you have a triple threat shield match at WrestleMania. You got two guys holding four belts, and then you throw Rollins in there just because.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Red. I was going to say, that's something that they're dumb enough to do and basically have the belts just be props that they carry around. So that could happen.
I like the idea that I read on Reddit, and I won't take credit for it, but it was the idea, if you want to make Roman look strong, you have him crash the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match, and of course he spears both men within 12 seconds and pins them both with one hand because, you know, we established Roman Reigns as the most dominant entity in the history of the WWE, so he just basically squashes both of them, and, you know, Roman Reigns now comes out looking strong and somehow still gets booed.
I like it. Moving on to the next big topic that they've been doing for a little while now. We have Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman. Sami defeats, air quotes, Braun Strowman with a time limit draw, which made absolutely no sense. I don't think that they announced this on Raw. You know, maybe I missed it, but they never said, at least to me, they never said, if you survive the 10 minutes, then you win. You know, I don't remember that in there at all. I know there was a 10-minute time limit, but
they only announced that right before the match.
Okay, then I must have fast forward. Andy, do you think that that made Sami look strong at all? Do you think that this helped him out? What are your thoughts on the whole thing in general?
I actually thought that Sami was going to go to SmackDown. That's what I really thought they were going to do with this. But Sami Zayn survived. It's pretty much what happened. So that's it. So I don't know what they're going to do with. You know, I think this actually hurts Sami Zayn to a certain extent because Braun Strowman, yeah, he's there, but they really, I miss Raw, so I don't know what they do with Sami on Raw, but I'm assuming they missed the boat on this one. But I don't know what happened, Roger.
Sami wasn't even on Raw, from what I understand. I don't think I saw him. So, you know, you had him basically survive the monster after getting the beatdown, and the payoff was that he doesn't appear. I thought this was going to be similar to what you had said, where I thought he was going to earn his freedom to SmackDown, right? With Foley saying, okay, if you can survive 10 minutes with Braun Strowman, I will grant you your wish and I will trade you to SmackDown for Eva Marie. Whatever, you know, you get to go over there and now you get to get the opportunity that you feel that you deserve that you're not going to get on Raw. So imagine the crowd, and, you know, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, later in the night, actually realizing that he could go to the SmackDown show by winning. So now it would have meant something, because what does his survival of LeBron mean? Like, big deal. He didn't get killed within 10 minutes. Hooray. Like, he didn't win a title shot. He didn't beat him. It'd be one thing if he'd hit him with a Huluva kick and then pinned him, and we'd have been like, whoa, he beat the monster. It was just like, okay, you didn't get crushed for once. Sweet. But, I mean, I don't think it hurt Braun because Braun didn't lose, but I don't think it helped Sami. So my question is, like, really, ultimately, what was the point?
Well, that's what I didn't understand. See, I thought that, yes, he was going to go. I thought it was going to be 1-2, and they're going to say hit the 10 minutes. So technically, he didn't pin Braun. So then they could maybe, you know, squeeze it out just a little bit longer. But they didn't do that. I mean, what did you think about it, Doug?
I think it actually was horrible for Sami, and the fact that Braun actually pulled him up from a 3 count. He didn't kick out. Braun pulled him back up from a 3 count to continue the match. He did not survive the 10 minutes. He would have lost had Braun just kept him down. That is not, I mean, let him kick out and then you can say that he's strong and makes him look good. But you also had, I don't know how much filler in this 10 minutes, because you had Mick Foley come out with the towel and he's like, don't let it end like this. Either throw in the towel, don't throw in the towel. It shouldn't have lasted that long. There was 4 minutes right there. I think the referee even stopped the match a couple times for like 30 seconds at a time to check on Sami to see if he could get up. And it's like, then stop the clock also. He didn't really survive. I mean, I could go out there and lay there for 10 minutes and just say, oh, I survived. As long as Braun doesn't pin me, as long as he keeps pulling me up at a 3 count, I should be able to survive. I think it would have been better had they made it him hitting and running a lot. I wouldn't have mind that as a tactic, you know, a way to survive. But I think they really screwed the pooch on this one, and it didn't help either of them. I will say, though, that I do like the aftermath when Braun came up on Raw the next day. And I think he went into two different matches and completely destroyed the whole match and made them pointless and everything like that. So I do like where they're moving with Braun. But what they're doing with Sami Zayn, you might as well just trade him to SmackDown. And I hope that's part of the storyline eventually.
Well, and I'm kind of curious, too, what they're going to do with him and his next matches. What's his next feud? Because with the U.S. title around Roman Reigns' waist, then there's not really a real mid-card title that someone else can go for. That a Sami Zayn could take on a Neville, you know, if Neville was in that picture sort of thing, you know. They don't have a clear, defined mid-card. And I think with Roman Reigns holding that belt, I don't think it really elevates the belt, you know, and I'm not trying to make about Reigns, but more about Sami, where Sami could go for a title or he could have a feud with somebody to make it meaningful. You know, other than Kevin Owens, I can't really think of a memorable feud that he's had. He's taken on Jericho a few times, you know, and that's really about it. So I don't think that Sami is really coming out looking good as they're trying to make him look, but they have to have a program in place in order to make this worthwhile, and I don't think they do.
Aaron, what are your thoughts on the fact that the New Day just set a record, but then they lose the titles right away?
So I might be the contrarian on this. I actually do not like this. You know, right now, WWE is in litigation with Demolition. There was a class action lawsuit brought against them about, I believe it was concussions. And so Demolition were on there about for some of the plaintiffs for that. And I think that kind of led a little bit to WWE wanting to say, oh, well, guess what? New Day now has the record. And once they get the record, we're going to get rid of it. I don't think they should have yet. I think that they should have held it till about Royal Rumble, because after they get the record, that's the point in time where most wrestling fans are going to go, oh, now they could lose. I can't wait to see this match, because this might be the match they actually lose. You know, when leading up to the record, nobody really thought that. I never thought, you know, for the last three or four pay-per-views that they were ever going to lose the titles. I never thought that. I don't know if anybody else did or not. But I would have had them lose it at Royal Rumble, and I would have had them lose it to a real heel tag team. Because the problem here is, and I like Cesaro and Sheamus together. I think it's a good odd couple pairing. But you didn't get the heel heat. You know, you didn't get the heel heat from taking that prestigious title away and that big record that they had. If somebody like the club, for example, if they got a lot of heel heat and then they stole the titles, you know, they cheated to win, and then the people are going to boo the crap out of them. And that they didn't do that, though. And so I think that's the only reason why I'm not a big fan of them losing the titles in the manner that they did.
You know, I'm mixed. I enjoyed the match as far as, you know, taking the storyline out of the, because Aaron's right. At past SummerSlam, I never believed New Day was going to lose before they broke the record. Like, it was blatantly obvious what they were setting up. I think they should have held it a little bit longer. I think Royal Rumble, if not, maybe even till WrestleMania, because like Aaron said, now it was believable they could lose. And every match was kind of, can you be the one to break the streak? You know, can you stop them from holding it for 2 years or two WrestleManias? You know, you could have talked about other things. And I also think there was a missed opportunity in the sense of, you could have put someone really over. Like, Cesaro's already over. You don't need to necessarily put this team over. If you call up the Revival, not that I want that on Raw, but if you call up the Revival and they win at Royal Rumble, now you have an instant mega heel team. You have a team that ended the New Day's legendary reign. Now you can have them feud with Enzo and Cash. Now you can have them feud with Cesaro and Sheamus. You know, you can build a division that you don't have on Raw, because right now we just went from faces to faces. Yeah, New Day should get their rematch, and I doubt they win. But after that point, it's the same old teams, right? This is the problem with Raw. It's the club who hasn't been really booked as a real threat. It's Enzo and Cass. I can't remember the last time they've won a big tag match. I don't know the rest of the teams on Raw. So it's, you know, I think they missed an opportunity here to really let New Day put over a new team and make that record not only meaningful for themselves, but let the next guy get a bump out of it.
The tag team, I mean, I'm going to say that I am one that is happy that the New Day lost it, only because they needed a fresh new look. They needed to be on the outside, either chasing the belts. I'm not necessarily happy with them losing to Cesaro and Sheamus. I also hate the fact that they have to now restart over the odd couple aspect. I thought it was nice when they did the bar scene at Raw. It was a little gimmicky, a little fun, though. But it made Sheamus more kind of turned him a little bit more of a face. And now all of a sudden he's got the titles and, oh, no. Let's restart this over. You have to be a complete heel. And Cesaro has to be the complete face so that we have conflict. And it's like, oh, so we're going to restart everything over. And eventually he'll either A, they'll break up, or B, he'll become a face again. It's boring. It's overdone. And I just don't want to see it.
Now, Andy, Roger brought up an interesting point about the other tag teams that are on Raw. We know that the New Day will get a rematch. I don't think that they will win it, because I think that would be a huge mistake to just take it off and then put it right back on. I think it would be dumb to do. But if there was another tag team that would take it off of Cesaro and Sheamus, who do you see being that tag team?
I like the idea of the Revival coming up and doing that. I think that would actually be interesting.
But the thing is, that with the Revival, they look, in a way, very similar to the Club. So Revival may not be best on Raw, especially when we've seen what they've done with other NXT stars there. Is there a current tag team, though, that could potentially see?
You would have to have, of course, the Bullet Club, you know, Gallows and Anderson. I'm surprised that they have not done more with them. I mean, realistically, they've been worthless. They split them and AJ up, which I think was dumb, and they haven't done anything. I mean, what was the point of bringing them in? I mean, more tag teams,
maybe, you know, a little more depth on the roster.
Yeah, but they could easily move them to SmackDown. And actually,
I was going
to
say, I think that's your solution, right? Move the Club and let AJ get his backup back, move the Club over to SmackDown so they can be in main event feuds without actually having a feud for the title. Because by association with AJ, that makes them a big deal again. Now the Revival can step up into the Raw, like, number one heel tag team scene, and then boom. Like, if now, granted, I don't trust Raw to use them properly, but I definitely think that they could really inject some, like, quality tag team work. Not that the Club's work has been bad, but they've just been booked like a joke. Like, again, when's the last time you can recall the Club winning a good match?
Well, and they also have been facing the same teams every single week. I mean, remember seeing them in the Usos, and it was like 12 matches in 3 weeks, because it was on Raw, it was on SmackDown, and it was constant. And it was just annoying to see them over and over and over again. And it was 50-50 booking, too, so they didn't look like monster heels. You know, they were just like, oh, middle of the pack or lower middle of the pack. So I don't know. I agree with you, Andy. I think that probably would be the Club. That should probably take the titles off them, maybe.
Where's the Ascension at? Are they on SmackDown?
They're on SmackDown.
Can we trade them and Eva Marie?
Them and the Vaudevillains are.
Yeah, well, we'll give them the Vaudevillains, too. We'll just throw them in to sweeten the deal.
What about the Shining Stars? No hope for Shining Stars?
No.
They're currently at their timeshare, so yeah. They'll be back in a little bit.
Now, what about the cruiserweights? Because for whatever reason, we have 205 Live, but we also have the cruiserweights still on Raw for whatever reason. It doesn't. I don't know. I mean, I'm dumbfounded by their decisions, but we'll talk about that at another time. We had Neville, though, come out and do a heel turn on the newly crowned cruiserweight champion, which is Rich Swann. So Neville came out, attacked him, and the crowd cheered him. They went crazy for him, and he even had to address that on Raw the following night, saying, oh, you guys are idiots for cheering me, and people are still cheering him. So, Roger, what do you think about, first of all, Neville turning heel, and then also Rich Swann being the new champion?
Well, for one, I think Neville going heel is awesome. If anybody remembers the Neville-Sami Zayn feud from NXT, and he was only really a tweener then, but he kind of pointed out the fact that Sammy couldn't win the big one. He would fake a knee injury and then beat him with a small package. I think one time he retained the title by pulling out the guy right before the three count and then stealing the pin with the red arrow. He does good heel work. I think the beard really helps him kind of sell. And I liked what he did. Like, he just got into the ring, faked a clap, and just drilled him with a forearm. It was like, whoa. Like, they kind of booked him like a tiny Brock Lesnar, and he's also a big guy, right? He's mm-hmm. similar to like Tony Nese. He's not a tiny cruiserweight. I'm curious as to what the reasoning is. You know, they didn't really explain it, and hopefully there'll be some storyline progression with that. But we've been calling him for months, and Neville needs to be the face of this division, at least on the heel side or something, because this Cruiserweight division is flopping. Like, it does not belong on Raw. They just don't care. I don't know if it's the Raw crowd anymore, because I think 205 Live does get a better reaction. Like, you know, Jack Gallagher gets a really good reaction from the crowd, in my opinion. I think he's a future star in that division. Rich Swann is obviously very popular. TJ Perkins, there's some issues with him. I think he needs to start to go heel. I don't think he's a good face. I said it before and I say it again. He just does. He's corny. And I think that crowd rejected him. Kendrick is what he is. The championship, I don't like the match, right? Jim Ross said this. It was a 6-minute match, and you have cruiserweights doing submission moves. When we watched the CWC, it was high-flying. It was exciting. It was something new. It was different. They were flying around the ring. You know, they were getting the crowd pumped. I watched that match, and I was like, this is boring. And this is sad because all three of those guys are solid workers, but that match was boring. And I don't think the cruiserweights can get over doing the same style of wrestling the rest of the guys do. They get over because their style is different and unique. If you try to make them like the average, like shoulder block and then do a pin, the crowd's going to stay dead. I mean, where are the exciting moves that we saw in that tournament of 31 quality matches? I just don't understand.
And Doug, what do you think about Rich Swann being the champion? Do you think it was a good move to put the belt on him?
I have no problem with Rich Swann being the champion. I remember going back to WrestleMania when we were at the Access. You know, I was looking forward to it. We heard Rich Swann's music hit, and we were trying to run back over to watch his match. So I've been looking forward to Rich Swann for a while now. Giving him the title now, I'm kind of a little bit hesitant, only on the aspect of I feel like this is doing what the women's title is doing. We're bouncing it too quick between champions. It was only about a month ago that TJ Perkins just won the title, and now you had Kendrick win the title, and now you got to give it back to Perkins, but then Rich Swann gets it, and it's like, okay, so who's going to be the flavor of the week kind of title then? Are you going to give it to Neville in a week or two? Or?
Well, do you think that was a knee-jerk reaction to TJP not getting the reaction they anticipated? Because that's what I feel like it was.
Well, I'm sure that they are trying to do that, too. They're trying to get it, you know, whatever popularity they can get. They're trying to get a champion that everybody can get behind, and I think that is going to be Neville, because he got a crowd reaction where no one else is getting a crowd reaction. I just think that no one knew of TJ Perkins beforehand. I think he came in with the aspect of, hey, everybody should remember him from his indie run. And he should get over quick. But the problem was nobody remembers him from the indies run, and no one cared about his indie run. And when he came in, it's like, oh, okay. Still don't care about him, you know, cause he had a gimmick in his indie run that I think made him a little bit more popular than what he could actually do.
Now, Doug, you brought up something very interesting that, Andy, I want to ask you about, which is that the women's title, and I don't want to talk about the feuds going on with it, but I'm kind of curious. Charlotte now, that title has bounced back and forth, I mean, in a matter of days. And Big E even made a comment on Raw about, you got to lose the title in order to win it, and Charlotte's going to be a 16-time champion by this time next month. I mean, she's 4-time women's champion. I think even 5 if you count the Divas title. What do you think about them bouncing that title back and forth? Does it make it meaningless, or is it just, you know, that type of storytelling where anyone could win it?
I think they're doing this so then she can say that she's a 17-time women's champion. I think that's what they're really doing with this. But this hot potato stuff needs to stop, all right? It's like, oh, I don't want it. Oh, let's pass it over here. I mean, unless the end game from here on out is that Charlotte holds until WrestleMania and then she loses it to Bayley, I'm okay with it then. But they could have at least had Sasha lose it at like Royal Rumble or something like that. But
whatever. Yeah, and I agree. Actually, I'm okay with them tossing the Cruiserweight title around a little bit more, because in WCW, there were times where it'd be a 7-day reign, a 14-day reign. And those weren't bad because you did have longer reigns in between. But with a women's title, and especially when they're trying to have the women be as prestigious as the men, I think when you pass that title around that much, it does devalue the title. You know, when you win and lose it in a matter of 14 days or, you know, 13 days or whatever it is, I think it does devalue the title. I think it is a big mistake.
Well, take a look at the NXT women's title, right? That championship isn't bounced around. And it's prestigious. Well, whoever beats Asuka for the title, whenever that is, will have won a championship that's been held by basically elite level superstars. You're talking about Charlotte. We're talking about Sasha. And we're talking about one reign. We're not talking about four reigns. We're not talking about three reigns in 4 months. You know, the people who did it, they got promoted, granted, a different system, but they got promoted. They held it for a significant amount of time. I think Bayley held it from TakeOver Brooklyn to TakeOver Dallas, you know, a good six-month run. Charlotte had a good run. Sasha had a good run. Asuka may hold it for a full year. And then compare that to, like, the Women's Championship, which was doing very well for a while. Charlotte had held it for a nice long run. So when Sasha won it, you know, she could have held it from her initial win on Raw to right now. And if she loses that title in the Iron Man match, that's a solid reign. And then Charlotte could have been in reign number two. Instead, it's been what, 6 title changes in 6 months? I mean, this is Vince Russo and WCW type title changes at this point. And it's like that championship doesn't seem important anymore. That seems like a title, like a television title that gets bounced around in 10-minute time limit matches. It's just, you know, same thing with the tag division. Who's their division? They got 4 women that I can think of who matter. You got Nia, Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte. That's it. And Sasha's out of the picture. So now if Bayley doesn't win, who else could Charlotte even potentially feud with?
Nia Jax.
No.
2 heels?
Yeah.
I mean, 2 heels don't feud. That just doesn't make sense.
And doesn't draw money.
Back Dana Brooke.
Oh, gosh. That's right. The one that Shawn Michaels in his prime couldn't carry to a 2-star match. I'm sorry. I hate to just always have to clown on her because I know she's young and she's a rookie, but she should not be in the ring. She should be a bodyguard, right? She should not be expected to wrestle 10-minute matches because she's not good. She wasn't NXT that long, and she was never one of the elite women's wrestlers. So when you called her up, it was like, okay, she's going to be Charlotte's muscle. But why is she feuding with people? Like, have you ever seen a Dana Brooke match when you were like, that was entertaining, besides when Asuka kept kicking her ass? It's true, right? I mean, I'm just saying. The only match I've ever enjoyed of hers is when Asuka kept kicking her repeatedly over and over and over.
I gotta say, I you know, if there was ever a tagline for the show, I think that was it right there for me, Roger. That was amazing. It was awesome. I hate to cut you off on your rant, but we have a lot more to get to. So let's talk about SmackDown. And we had AJ and Dean Ambrose going at it for a little while. They incorporated James Ellsworth into this feud also. And Ellsworth actually got a couple wins over AJ Styles, surprisingly.
3.
Now, yeah, 3 wins, which is just amazing, right? Now, Ellsworth cost Dean the title at TLC by pushing Dean over when he was on top of the ladder through some tables. And he said, well, I beat AJ Styles 3 times. Surely I'd rather take on AJ Styles than Dean Ambrose, right? You know, which is kind of funny. Andy, I got to ask you, what did you think of the feud in general? Was it a fairly good feud? Because this was 2-3 months long, but, you know, it still had some legs on it, it felt like. Did you enjoy this feud?
I don't know how Ellsworth got over. I just don't get it. He's just one of those guys that I never thought would happen. And then all of a sudden, now he's such a big deal. So him doing what he did, you know, I guess they're extending it. I mean, that's really the only thing I can say about it. I think it's hurting AJ's title run.
You think that's hurting his title run? Doug, what do you think about that?
I think it was a good gimmick. I thought, you know, it got some comedy aspect into it, but the fact that AJ was even letting Ellsworth do it, I think is amazing for AJ, but it got some comedy into it. It extended the feud for a few more months. I don't know. I think it went a little bit too long between Ambrose and AJ. The other thing I didn't like was the obvious glitch in it and the fact that Ellsworth actually stops AJ from getting the title on his own. That was kind of, I don't know, redundant or just not needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it would have been funnier if AJ was going up for the title. He gets distracted by Ellsworth, but Ellsworth just comes down and, like, holds on to Dean Ambrose's leg as AJ got it. That I would have understood a little bit more, except for AJ then goes and beats up Ellsworth, and then you have Ambrose go for it, and it wasn't well thought out. To have it continue now, it's just, you know, I like the aspect that because of AJ's injury, that they're doing the Ellsworth is finally realizing that he's not going to beat AJ. So he's been claiming to be sick. So.
Well, and Roger, what did you think? Did you enjoy the feud that they had?
No, I really did. You know, kind of contrasting it to Raw, unlike where we've seen Roman versus Seth too many times, or I'm sorry, Owens versus Seth too many times, or Roman versus Owens too many times. We saw Ambrose and AJ fight one-on-one twice at Backlash and at TLC. That's it. So it was two matches. The second one I thought was amazing. The first one was solid. And Ellsworth injected something I think they needed to keep the feud going, because they found a way to basically get the face over on AJ without Ambrose having to beat AJ repeatedly. So if you look at it, Ambrose never beat AJ. Not one time did he pin the World Heavyweight Champion, but at the same time, he was the reason AJ lost. So they had a beef. But the best part about this is Styles can say, yeah, Ellsworth beat me, but you couldn't. I beat you twice. You don't have any more claims to the championship. The only thing I got to do is take care of James Ellsworth. And, you know, they've injected some comedy. Now you see Ellsworth trying to make excuses, realizing like, uh-oh, AJ is really going to hurt me now because Ambrose isn't going to have my back. You know, they've got something to extend it. Let's see where they go with on the Rumble. But, you know, I think SmackDown did a good job of taking two guys and saying, let's not overexpose them and let's not make this match meaningless. So by the time you got to TLC, I was looking forward to that match compared to some of the other matches that we'd seen 6 and 7 and 8 times. It was like, let's see what happens in the rematch and then move away from it. I don't want to see AJ and Ambrose cross paths for a good 6 months as far as in-ring one-on-one. They can be in tag matches, but, you know, don't do any more singles matches for the title.
Yeah, and I definitely echo your thoughts, Roger. I, you know, you summed it up perfectly how I feel about it. The question I think now is, where does AJ move on from here? Because the WWE title has been the focal point of SmackDown, which I actually really like. That's one of the things I like about SmackDown, is that it centers around the title, actually titles. And that's the big thing about it, you know, with Miz making the IC title feel like it's prestigious in a way Roman Reigns isn't doing. And I don't mean to dog on him, but, you know, it's just my observation of that. And with the WWE title, AJ is now going to be taking on Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin on SmackDown this coming week. I assume AJ is going to retain. But who does he face next? Because he's got to have a challenger at the Royal Rumble. So I assume everybody believes that AJ will retain next week. Doug, who would you have AJ face at the Royal Rumble?
I kind of want to see him take on The Undertaker, in the aspect of The Undertaker coming out, especially with Ellsworth, you know, if he finally gets his title reign. And I kind of missed SmackDown this last week, so I don't know if they ever actually had that match.
They did, but it was 2 seconds. Okay. AJ just beat the crap out of him and pinned him, and that was it.
The thing I would have is The Undertaker come out and just dog on AJ's title run, and the fact that and say that he hasn't beat anybody, he's making the title a joke, and he needs to face a real opponent, and that's going to be The Undertaker, especially when The Undertaker made that kind of declaration before Survivor Series that if you guys lose, I'm going to hand out the punishment. Mm-hmm. Well, this could be AJ's punishment for taking on Ellsworth and continuing that and bringing that kind of a, because he's the one that brought in Ellsworth to face that very, very first time. So I would run with that angle and see where it goes.
And I actually agree with you. I think that Taker would be who I would pick as well. Andy, do you have anybody else in mind that you would choose?
I was trying to think of like a smart one, but realistically, I think Undertaker is probably the better one, no matter how.
Roger, do you have a different one or?
Let me say one thing. I kind of disagree with Doug. I think if you have Undertaker come out and say you haven't faced anybody real, you kind of bury both Ambrose and Cena. I think you need to avoid that route. I do think you can have AJ brag and say that he's beaten everybody to beat on SmackDown, and that can accomplish the same goal with staff saying like, I'm the man, I'm the guy who runs this place. You know, I'm the face that runs the place, or the champ who runs the camp, or the, I don't know, you know, come up with some corny line. And then have the gong hit and Undertaker say, this is still my yard, you know, now you've got a Rumble match. In Fantasyland, I think Samoa Joe would be fantastic here to come up as the next challenger. And granted, they're both heels, but the thing is, all you have to do is have Joe absolutely destroy AJ Styles in, you know, without saying a word, and AJ immediately turns face. It would not be that hard to get the crowd behind him, especially with, you know, his work rate, and he's always going to be loved. You let Samoa Joe show up out of nowhere, AJ thinks he's on his side, and I mean, Joe just unleashes a vicious beatdown and leaves him bloodied. He gets stretchered out. You know, the moment he returns, he'll get a huge pop, and that's a good, and that's your Rumble match.
Interesting.
And Joe versus Cena could also work for a Mania match if you wanted Joe to take the title too. So, you know, you've got options, in my opinion.
And you know, I think I personally think it will be Taker, and I'm okay with Taker taking the title. AJ's had a nice long run with it. It actually doesn't feel like it's been that long. It's over 100 days now, but it doesn't feel like it's been, you know, 100 days. It feels like, you know, it's only been like a month or two, which is a good, that's the sign of a good title run, you know, unlike when Sheamus or Cena have held the title in the past and it feels like it's dragging on and you just want it to end. So speaking of Ambrose, we have the IC title and Miz defeated Dolph Ziggler most recently in a ladder match to retain. And now it looks like Ambrose is going to be the next contender. Miz had teased Renee Young about how she's sleeping with Dean Ambrose. She slapped him, but it seemed to get under her skin. It seems like they're going to go kind of a blood feud and a title route with that. Doug, do you see Ambrose and Miz tangling at Royal Rumble, or is this something that you actually have on a SmackDown?
I would do it for Rumble. You have Miz, who's had a great year so far, has contention for even being Superstar of the Year. And you have Dean Ambrose, who has also had a decent year this year and should be considered also for Superstar of the Year. And so you have this as a pay-per-view match. It should be a pay-per-view match.
All right, and Roger?
Yeah, I mean, I would do both. I mean, you know, I think the kind of Ziggler template that they had can be used here, right? You can do the initial match on SmackDown, have Maryse be the reason, or have Renee Young get slapped by Maryse so that Ambrose loses his focus, Miz hits the roll-up, boom, you know, you have a justification for a rematch. I would say the only thing about this feud is that despite my – and I enjoy Ambrose, even though he was pretty stale in his title run – I think he needs to lose this feud because I don't think he needs the IC title. And I think this helps elevate Miz as a big time heel by letting, because Ziggler is, while over, not exactly what you would call a legit, you know, main eventer. He's not a guy that you look at as someone who's going to be in the ring with credible guys like Rollins and Reigns. But Ambrose is, right? He's won the Shield triple threat. He's won the Money in the Bank. He's won the title. So you let Miz beat him. Now Miz is elevated even further. He makes that IC title look even more prestigious. So whoever takes that title off of him can actually get a rub off of him. Who knows who that'll be. But I would stretch this out until the February pay-per-view, to be honest. Is it Fastlane? I'm not sure which one it is. Yeah, I would actually have it go SmackDown, Rumble, SmackDown, and then Fastlane be the, you know, last curtain, whatever you want to call it. You know, and then Ambrose loses for good.
Do you think the real reason why they're doing this thing with Renee Young and Maryse is that they're doing something for Total Divas, and that's what's really going on?
Oh, God, you're probably right.
Because Renee Young is not – Renee Young never said that she always said that she never wanted to be a wrestler. She always said something about that. Why else would they have this going on now? It's great because in the second half of Total Crap, this is what happens. And that's what they're doing, and I can almost guarantee it.
I think you might be right, Andy, because they do that type of stuff like we talked about earlier with the cage trying to sell toys. I think that this could be a similar situation where it's, you know, Maryse versus Renee Young, basically, you know, for Total Divas. So I think you might be right. Andy, what do you think, though? Do you think that that this is going to be a good feud for both Dean and for Miz where they can both come out on top on this?
It could be, but realistically, let's just talk about this. This is just all about Total Divas, and you know that it's going to go all the way to Royal Rumble. It's
Andy,
all about Total Divas.
Do you have a secret love affair with Total Divas?
Because that's all this is Total Divas. It's all over the thing. It says, Total Divas. Renee Young is now a part of Total Divas. Oh, Maryse is too. So let's do something.
Wait, is Maryse part of Total Divas?
Like, yes.
Are they both actually part of it?
Yes.
Wow.
Andy watches it nightly, so.
See, I wouldn't know because I don't watch
it. He streams
it
every day.
It's on Hulu the following morning.
Yeah, well, I'm not, so. So does that mean then we're going to see Nikki Bella? Oh, wait, that's Total Bella. So that means Nikki Bella will now be John Cena's manager. And then I can walk out to the ring because Alexa Bliss is my manager. Hi, Doug. And so, you know, we can all have a nice little, you know, manager fight.
Yay.
So anyways, so, realistically with this, it's just going to, that's all it's about. Dean Ambrose will move on to something else.
Moving on to brighter horizons for the SmackDown tag team title picture. As I had mentioned earlier, you know, sadly, Zack Ryder went down with knee injury. So they're doing a fatal four way, a four corners elimination tag match this next week on SmackDown with the Wyatts taking on a few different tag teams. American Alpha's in there as well. And Wyatts have the tag titles now. They took it off Slater and Rhino. I'm OK with them losing the title. I think that was fine. But the question here is, Orton seems to be in the Wyatts. It doesn't seem to be that short-term thing. So, Roger, what do you see with not only the Wyatt family, but with the tag titles as well? Do you see Orton turning and having them drop the titles to somebody? And if so, who?
The predictable route, which most likely is the WWE route, would be Orton, of course, turning because he wanted to destroy the Wyatt family from within, blah, 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 blah. I think the better storyline is that Orton, who prefers to be a heel anyway, actually believes in Bray's message. And he actually wants to help the Wyatts elevate to that next level. Because I think you've not had a what I'd call a heavyweight tag team in quite some time. Like, the Wyatt family could take on main eventers and not look like scrubs. And that's something I think the tag division really needs, because now you can have, I don't know, Ambrose team up with whoever, Dolph Ziggler. And when they face the Wyatts would be favored because Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt are both legitimate. So I think you have them hold those championships to at least WrestleMania, if not longer. And I think American Alpha is the team that takes them from them eventually. But I think Wyatt and Orton are going to be the team who not only retains, I think they're going to continue to look dominant because they're their top heels, to be quite honest, with the exception of AJ Styles. You know, and Miz has done a good job, but Orton and Wyatt are like your dangerous heels, right? At any point in time, they can fight anyone, whether it's Undertaker, whether it's Ambrose, whether they went over to Raw and popped up and fought, you know, Brock Lesnar, right? Wyatt and Orton both have beef with Lesnar, so you could have the Wyatts attack them, and boom, you've got a feud again. I think they kind of stay dominant for at least, I'd say, 4 to 5 months until, and you know, who knows? Maybe it's not one of those things where like Orton turns on the Wyatts. Maybe it's Orton and Harper turn on Bray Wyatt. Maybe Orton takes control of the Wyatt family. Like, you know, do something different. Don't just have it be the same old Orton turns on his team storyline.
And Andy, what do you think?
It was time. It was time for Rhino and Slayer definitely to drop him. You know, like, I like the idea, though, that the Orton decided to try to tear the Wyatts apart from the outside. But I think in this case, let him go with it. Just let it go. Just keep it going for a while until it actually feels stale. And you're right. The Wyatts can actually wrestle in main events and it won't hurt them if they win or lose at this point, unless they continue to lose. But right now, I think everything that they're doing right now with that tag division, I think is the right thing to do at this point. I mean, there's really nothing else to say. I mean, the other thing also is that with SmackDown itself, it's just, I really don't have too many complaints about it right now.
Doug, do you agree with Roger that Orton is probably going to stay with the Wyatts for a while?
I'd like to see it, but I don't think WWE is going to do it that way. Because they're doing the Freebird rules with the titles, I could completely see Orton saying at the Royal Rumble, like turning on Bray Wyatt during the Rumble and using, and then come out later. I'm not going to say that Orton's going to win the Rumble, but come out later and saying the only reason he joined the Wyatts was to try to get himself to win the Rumble so that he could main event WrestleMania. It'll turn into Orton versus Bray at WrestleMania 33. But they can still have the titles as the Wyatts because it's Harper and Bray. So that's what I think that WWE is going to do with it. I agree with Andy. I'd let them take the tag teams as far as they can go. Let them run with them for a little bit. And once they finally do become stale, then you kind of, you know, let it go. And then you have Bray or Orton try to kick out Luke Harper and do the whole I destroyed you from within kind of storyline.
Yeah. You know, and I think a route that might be interesting to go to is, you know, as you guys have said, have the Wyatts, you know, be the monster heels. And then, you know, I'm a huge American Alpha fan. I know we all are. And I think it was okay to not have them be the first SmackDown champions. You know, I was actually okay with that. But if the Wyatts get real heat, and I mean, like, everybody hates them, to have them take the titles off the Wyatts could be a really cool moment. And it could be something that might help elevate both those, you know, both teams even. And it could be a way then that Orton says, you know, this isn't what I signed up for. And then he leaves, you know, and he leaves the Wyatts with an RKO at WrestleMania. You know, that's something that maybe they could do, but I don't know. I mean, we still have some time for that. I don't see this getting resolved anytime soon. So, you know, we'll have to see in January or February.
Do you think the reports of the house shows where Orton has been hitting the RKO on the Wyatts is worrisome that this is coming to a conclusion sooner than it should?
Well, I think it actually goes to Doug's point where WWE is probably testing the waters a little bit and they're probably just like, oh yeah, let's just go ahead and, you know, turn them. I don't think that would be a good idea though. I agree with everyone else where I think that it should stay like this for a little while longer. You know, you don't have to rush storylines. Even if we know where the conclusion might go, hit at the right notes. You know, you don't have to push it and have it be a month too soon or 2 months too soon sort of thing.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free setup and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. Aaron, let's talk about our weekly topic, and it's a big announcement that WWE made earlier. So why don't you start it off?
Yeah, so they announced that they are going to be doing a UK championship tournament. So it's going to be the first ever that they've done, different than the European title, but it's going to be everyone from the United Kingdom. So we'd see folks from Ireland, from Great Britain, and everywhere else that incorporates that. And it looks like it's going to be kind of similar to the Cruiserweight Classic. I believe that they said it was going to be 16 people, if my memory serves, and they're going to crown the first ever UK champion, and then they're going to actually have them wrestle on a regular basis, similar to what they do with 205 Live, it seems. So, Roger, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that it was smart of them to do to, you know, kind of create a whole nother territory, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea, to be quite honest, because, you know, on two fronts, right? For a lot of us, if you don't watch, you know, the indie, you know, NJPW or some of the UK promotions or, you know, whatever the promotions are in India, this is kind of a good way to get exposure, similar to what the CWC did, where guys you don't get to see on a normal basis, like Gallagher or Tozawa or things like that. Now we're going to get to watch, and, you know, we all probably have the network. Most WWE fans have the network. So this is a way to see guys who you don't necessarily get to see on a normal basis. I like tournaments. I think we all agree that tournaments are pretty fun. And, you know, they've all been successful, whether it's the Dusty Classic 2 years running or the CWC. You know, I know they're talking about a women's tournament. The only thing that this actually makes me question is that they seem to be on board with the idea of tournaments, whether it's in NXT or just in the WWE network. Why do they refuse to bring back King of the Ring and do it properly? Like that baffles me. But I think a UK championship is awesome. I'm kind of curious as to where it's going to go after the tournament's over. You know, is it going to be something that's just defended like a normal title? Is it just an honor that you're the UK champion and then next year there's a new UK champion? So I'm curious about that. But I think it's going to be fun. I'm interested to see if they expand to other regions as well, whether it's South America, you know, India, Japan, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Doug, if you were doing this, would you expand to other regions? Like, would you have Japanese and Indian, you know, sort of thing going on?
And I just like how you said how it was kind of earlier that they're doing territories and they're going to do territory belts in China or Japan or India or anything like that. And it brings me back to how the U.S. used to be a whole bunch of territories that used to work together to have that finite aspect of let's promote wrestling. And I think that this is what this is doing, just on a worldwide scale. You're now going to develop your territories. You're going to have that UK champion where, you know, we're going to expose, you know, the United States to UK wrestling. We're going to expose the United States to India wrestling, Japan wrestling, China wrestling. And eventually you're going to have exposure to all the territories that are around the world. And maybe then you start having that little bit, hey, let's have that Japan wrestling champion come over and fight our UK championship wrestling. And maybe we'll get to a Street Fighter level.
Yeah. So, you know, it'd be interesting, Doug, if they did do a territory system, you could have basically a World Series where you could have a 16-man tournament and it's the best person from each region.
Each country. Right.
You know, I think that'd be fascinating. And do you think that that this could be successful? Do you think that them doing the UK will be successful where they would expand?
I think the UK one will be successful. And I think what they're going to try and do a weekly show like they've said before. But I believe it won't be a weekly show as in they'll follow the champion at that time. He'll go to certain indie shows is what I think will end up happening. And it'll be with the WWE partnered independent pro wrestler, basically independent places where they have first dibs at all the people that come through there and wrestle. That's what I think they're really doing. So then they can have the top two tier, candidates that work for that independent promotion. They get first dibs at them. So if TNA starts showing interest or Ring of Honor, they can say, oh, they're ours now. So that's what I think they're really doing with the that's why it's becoming territory. They're doing the territories, but I think you'll see one probably in South Africa. You'll see one in, of course, Japan and China. I think that's where you're where the next where it's headed to at this point.
And that obviously would help expand their base a lot more and, you know, increase their stock price and make them a more global company and also make them a little bit richer. Now, 205 Live came out of the CWC. It sounds like, Andy, you're saying that the UK, they could do something similar. But I mean, would this be wrestling overload? Because let's just kind of look, you know, kind of fantasize a little bit, maybe a year down the line. Let's say they do a Japanese, they do a Chinese, Indian, UK, and, you know, maybe a European one as well. If they did that, we'd have and they do a weekly show with it, let's say, or even a monthly show. Doug, do you think that would be wrestling overload with all of these territories plus NXT, plus 205, Raw, SmackDown, and then a pay-per-view every 3 weeks? Do you think that'd be too much wrestling?
I think it's already too much wrestling, honestly. And I love the Cruiserweight Classic. If they would do something like that a little bit more, where it, maybe you do one per month or one every other month, that would be great. You have way too many pay-per-views. You have a little bit of too much. Too much is not always a good thing, and you're running into that problem right now, I think. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the dead crowds is just because you go to a Raw event, and it's like, oh, great, yeah, we get to see this. Oh, we're going to see SmackDown now. Now we're going to see NXT on Wednesday. Oh, wait, we also get to see 205 on Tuesday. Pay-per-view again on Sunday again, and you just keep running into that. Eventually, you're going to have wrestling on every day of the week, and I just don't think that – I think people are going to lose interest because the storylines cannot keep up and keep people's interest that long.
Andy, with what Doug had said, let's just say that there's five territories out there. What would you do to maybe mitigate that? Would you have them do it once – like one territory once a week? Or would you do it maybe like once a month? Like what would you do?
Honestly, I think it's a 30-minute show. And in that 30 minutes, you basically you have like we'll say two 30-minute or three 30-minute shows, and then you have like an hour-long show where they actually will fight for the belt. But in this case, you would just go to you know like we'll say they went to what's it? What culture? Is that's the new one over? Yeah. Okay. Let's say they went there for 1 week and they took like a sub-main event. Had that match, and then they had the WWE UK champion right afterwards, and then you can have, and then you can also talk about that promotion, what other matches they have going on, and then he'll say that I'm going to such such next week or whatever, and then it's only 30 minutes, and then it's over with, and I think that's so what you would do.
You would do 30 minutes every week for five different territories.
You're talking about for each one.
Yeah, so like, yeah. Let's say that there's five other territories. Let's just, you know, throw that out there. Just, you know, or four if you want to make it nice and even. You would do 30 minutes, or would you potentially do?
Then I would actually, you would almost have to have it where a champion was crowned, and then they just go to a couple indie places. But you're going to have that show where if you're going to have four territories, it's going to be, you know, maybe an hour show. You can't have I don't think a two-hour show would hurt. I think that would hurt a casual wrestling fan. I think then it's too much. I think if you had it either, I don't know, like even if you focused it, showcased like the UK champion and then did a quick blurb with him and then went to the Japanese champion and then then had him do a match. Then I don't know, like check what the other champions are doing as well. Gosh, that's toughy.
Roger, what would you do to help mitigate that? Like, do you have any ideas that might make it so you don't have as much wrestling overload?
Yeah, I mean, to Doug's point, I don't think it's so much wrestling overload. And you know, this is a discussion, a callback to when we talked about SummerSlam and NXT. And the difference between SummerSlam and NXT is not only the length, but the quality, right? If I watched NXT Brooklyn for 4 hours, I would be entertained for 4 hours because those are feuds, those are storylines, those are good matches, they have conclusions. But then when I watch SummerSlam, it's not that entertaining. And kind of watching the way the cruiserweights are floundering right now, despite having very talented wrestlers, I think what that tells me is that you don't need a show for every type of wrestling. You don't need a UK show. You don't need a cruiserweight show. You don't need an India show. You're better off using the brand that you've already established, like NXT, and featuring have the UK champion show up once a month. have the Japan champion show up once a month, have the South American champion show up once a month, have the Cruiserweight champion show up once a month, or maybe twice a month in their case because they got a division, and let those guys cycle through NXT just to be like, hey, by the way, this is the guy who's the champ, and then they can go work on the indies and stay off of TV, and then when you're, you know, if you're grooming them, because ideally you would think, right, that if you're giving them a title from WWE, you've pegged them as the next guy you want to bring over. So let them appear in front of that Full Sail crowd once a month or twice a month or whatever you want to do it, and then slowly but surely, once they drop that title, then they come into NXT full time and use NXT as the way to showcase these guys. You don't need to do a show, because I'm going to be honest, casual fans are not going to watch a UK show every single week and an India show every single week. They maybe would watch a Japan show because NJPW, but then even then you don't have those names, right? You're not going to get Omega and Okada and all those guys. So, it, you know, you don't need to add on top of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, and the pay-per-view that seems to be every other week.
We've got enough wrestling. Let me ask you this, because something I was thinking about while you guys were talking is, what if they did an hour-long show once a week, and it was just called like WWE International, and they had the best matches or the most important matches from the five different territories? So you would see like a Japanese one, then you would see an Indian, and then you would see UK sort of thing. So they would just kind of cycle through. So every week you would get you could get maybe two Japanese the first week, and then maybe two UK and a you know Indian or whatever. But would you like that idea? Is that something that maybe might keep your attention a little bit?
I thought about something like that, where you kind of had like a clip show or, you know, like a, hey, mm-hmm. here's the best of what's going on this week. I do think we sometimes do overestimate how much the casual fan wants to watch wrestling as opposed to WWE per se. And I'm not so sure that you would really, I mean, granted, the network, of course, doesn't have to worry about ratings because it's not running commercials and things like that. So you could do it. But again, you know, let's say you have an hour show of that. You still have an hour of Main Event. You have 3 hours of Raw, which is the most painful. Then you have 2 hours of SmackDown. You have an hour of NXT. You have an hour. I mean, you get what I'm talking about right now. If there's a pay-per-view, we're talking about 11 hours of wrestling. In a non-pay-per-view week, we're talking about 9. So it's like, that's too much. And it's not like it's great wrestling all the time either. You know, it's all the same. It's all the WWE style. So unless you're going to let them work their unique style, which I think the problem the Cruiserweights are having, I don't think it's worth the time.
So what we can do is what they did with WWE Superstars. WWE Superstars is now considered 205 Live. You can then actually transition or pivot WWE Main Event into the WWE World showcase.
I'd be fine with that. I think because that's a great idea.
That show, realistically, let's just put it this way, Main Event's worthless. I mean, Ascension was jobbing on Main Event, if that tells you anything.
Well, yeah, I didn't even know Main Event was still on, to be quite honest. I would almost what I would do is I'd scrap 205 Live. I would just get rid of it and then roll up to WWE World International or whatever they'd want to call it. And I would just showcase all the matches on there an hour a week. You know, you can have it in line with NXT and go with what Roger's idea was, where you have, you know, somebody come through there once a month, you know, for maybe a short program, and they can be like, I'm the champion of the UK and I wanted to see the best that NXT had to offer, you know, sort of thing. And then they can get fresh. And if it's somebody who, you know, like a Zack Sabre Jr., who maybe people really like, then they might say, you know what, we really want you to be on NXT now. And then they move them up there and move them to main roster, you know, so on and so forth.
You know what they should do, because they love these tournaments, is that they should actually go ahead and say that, hey, we're doing a tournament, but have them on Tuesday nights, and then you have the real wrestling on Wednesday nights. You know, you have NXT, then 205 Live. I think that's the.
But you have SmackDown on Tuesday, so.
And, no, I'm sorry, but you. I'm sorry, you do NXT, and you also do 205 Live, but you broadcast it on Wednesday instead.
Oh.
Because 205 Live, realistically, they don't need to be live for that show. But they can actually then do the tournaments, then, you know, have them air on the network on Tuesdays. So then they still have, you know, that hour or whatever.
You know, to be honest, I'm not a huge 205 Live fan yet. I kind of feel like the thing I like about Cruiserweights is I like it when it's sprinkled in with the other stuff. And that's one of the things I liked about it in WCW. And in WWE, they're doing it very incorrectly. But I don't know. It hasn't hit me yet. I don't know. Maybe I'll like it, you know, keep watching, but I'm not a huge fan.
Realistically, 205 should only be with SmackDown. We'll just leave it at that. I've said it before. That's it.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think the Cruiserweights, because with the exception of maybe a couple of them, do you think they were hurt by not going through NXT?
Some of them, yes.
Ooh. That's a great question.
Really, Doug.
many of them didn't go through NXT. I know Rich Swann did, and of course it's probably not a coincidence that he's already over with the crowd. TJP did not go through there. Kendrick already had a name, so he didn't need to go through there. Gallagher's over because of his gimmick. Now the rest of them, meh. Mm-hmm. And I think NXT has usually been the testing ground, right? If you look at like a guy like Cien Almas, they tried to push him as a mega face. It didn't work. Now they're moving him as a heel. But they basically hotshotted these guys to the main roster without really getting a crowd reaction outside of the CWC, and they're floundering. And I think you could have used NXT to kind of bend that buffer to say, you work, you don't. Let's tweak some things.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I would agree with that.
I mean, give TJP credit, though. He actually went through and he said, this is what I want. This is what I want for my entrance. And he did a good job. And I thought it was unique because it's like, wow, we've never seen anything like that, you know, before. So, I mean, I'll give him some credit there.
I've seen
but...
Cam Newton dab all the time, all right?
Right.
And I've seen him do the hurricane, all right? I mean, that's what he's doing, right? The hurricane.
That's all it is. It's the hurricane, but they're like, I don't want to show my face to show that I'm a true wrestling fan.
You know what the problem with TJP is, though? And I am the biggest Mega Man fanboy on the planet, but wrestling music is supposed to hype you up. And when you hear 8-bit remixed music, it does not hype you up. Like, it may be make you giddy like a schoolboy, but it doesn't get you into, like, the wrestling, hey, let's go watch this dude beat somebody up mood. So it's kind of like, oh, cool, let's play Mega Man 2.
Well, the thing is, that's fine. You can start off with it and then have it kick on with heavy metal. And I think then it changes everything. Like, have it really, like, I don't know, like, fast-paced, like, almost like death metal, like GWAR, almost. Have that. But do the Mega Man theme, which would be funny. But, yeah, so it's just one of those things. So far, I think that they... I guess we'll wait and see on the UK Championship, but it's going to be two times next month, actually. So, anyways, that's it for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.